Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 27th day of March, 2024. Before I introduce my guest and our topic of the day, I just want to remind you, if you're a man in ministry leadership, you are invited to the next free biannual Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon, featuring for the very first time our keynote speaker, Dr. Joel R. Beakey, founder and president of Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Not only is admission free and your lunch free, and getting the blessing of hearing in person Dr. Joel Beakey preach for free and sharing a fun time of fellowship, rest, relaxation, and refreshment and edification with colleagues in ministry free, everybody who attends is going to leave that place with a heavy sack of free brand new books personally selected by me and donated by generous Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom. This will be held Thursday, June 6th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. If you would like to register for this free event, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. We hope to see as many of you there as possible. But I'm so excited about my returning guest today, who is one of my favorite guests of all, and I know is a favorite guest of a growing number of listeners in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience. I always love to see the excited responses in social media of my listeners when they hear that Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III is going to be a guest again on my show, and he's on again today. He is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, a very generous financial supporter of this program. He's also the author of the 8-volume commentary on the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity. And today he's going to be addressing the most significant redemptive historical event between creation and the cross of Christ and its relevance for today. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III.
It's always enjoyable to be on your program, Chris.
Well, once again, especially for the sake of our listeners who have never heard you on the program before, it may be new listeners and have not yet had the opportunity to hear one of our interviews. Tell us about Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia.
Well, my congregation is a small congregation in Cumming, Georgia, which is the county seat of Forsyth County. On the north edge, just outside of metropolitan Atlanta. Our congregation is a member of a small conservative Presbyterian denomination called Reformed Presbyterian Church, Hanover Presbytery. Hanover Presbytery, over the past 200 years, has started churches all over the northern part of the South and Ohio and Indiana and all through New England. Even Patrick Henry was a member of Hanover Presbytery.
Wow.
One time.
Wow.
We are committed to the original Westminster Confession of Faith, Larger and Shorter Catechisms, We are totally dedicated to the Great Commission, and we have spent much money and much manpower in sending people to various parts of the world to preach the gospel. We've got sent men south of the border where we have all these illegal aliens and everything, and they preach in tent cities. And then they also go to Cuba, and as long as God gives us the finances, we'll send them somewhere else someday.
Well, you definitely are the pastor of a very generous church, and I know that firsthand because your church is so extremely generous every year toward Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and you are one of the largest financial supporters that we have, and I thank God for you more than I can ever explain in adequate terms in the English language, brother.
Well, I wish we could give you more.
Well, you give plenty, and thank you for it. We have a very interesting topic today, the most significant redemptive historical event between creation and the cross of Christ and its relevance for today. Do you want to let us know to exactly what you refer?
Yes, sir. I'm really looking forward to our discussion because this is a subject that I have been preaching on for several Sundays in our church. The most single historical and redemptive event to take place in the world between the creation and the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is the Exodus. Now, we might not think the Exodus is that big a thing because it was so far away and so distant from us, but it is of extreme significance for understanding the Bible, the gospel, Jesus, the Christian life, the responsibility of Christians in this world. And we began to understand Exodus and Moses by understanding the first word of the book of Exodus. And the first word of the book of Exodus in Hebrew is and, A-N-D. Now, it's very unusual to begin a book with the word A-N-D.
Yes, it is.
Unless you have a particularly important reason to do it. And Moses had a very important reason to begin the book of Exodus with the word and, because he wanted everybody to know that the church down through history, that Exodus is about God's redemption of his covenant people. The book of Genesis is about God establishing a covenant between himself and his people, and that covenant we call the covenant of grace. It is a bond of union between God and his people in Jesus Christ, wherein God is their sovereign friend and Israel are his servant friends. And so people like to chop up the Bible. They like to bring all kinds of discontinuities into the Bible. And that little word and shows that it's impossible. That God established this covenant with his people. We call it the Abrahamic covenant. And people like to divide the Abrahamic covenant from the Mosaic covenant, saying that the Abrahamic covenant was a covenant of grace. Mosaic covenant is a covenant of law. That little word and refutes that position. That the covenant that God established with Moses that led to the Exodus is simply the fulfillment of the covenant that God made with Abraham 430 years before. Now, why do we say that it's one of the most significant events, or the most significant event, the most significant single redemptive historical event from the creation of the world to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because it means far more than the average person understands it to be. Even a Christian, we understand that it is symbolic, has figurative meaning, that it points to Christ like everything else in the Old Testament. But I began to be impressed with the Exodus when I was studying the transfiguration of Christ in the book of Luke. Now, you know, the transfiguration was where at night Jesus and his disciples, some of his disciples, and Elijah and Moses, who came back from the dead, met in the Garden of Gethsemane and carried on a conversation. The content of that conversation is only given in one word in the book of Luke. None of the other gospel writers tell you what they talked about, but Luke tells us what they talked about in one word. And whatever those men talked about has got to be extremely important. They talked about Jesus' departure. Now, the word departure in Greek, I'll pronounce the word in Greek, Exodus. So Jesus and Moses and Elijah and the apostles were talking about this new and greater Exodus that the Lord Jesus Christ would bring to his people. In fact, the Old Testament prophesies it. The Old Testament prophesies that there's going to be another Exodus that'll be so great that they'll forget about the first one.
Wow.
So the Exodus helps us understand what Jesus came to do and what real redemption is. Let me give you some things. Sometime read the 11th and 12th, 13th chapters of Exodus. You remember the context. The 430 years earlier, the children of Israel went to Egypt. And the reason that they went to Egypt was because there was a global famine. And they were starving to death. And Egypt had food. And so they go to Egypt. In fact, God takes them to Egypt, not simply to keep them from starving, but God sends them to Egypt to be an incubator to protect them from Canaanite immorality and idolatry. Because Israel had been too weak to resist the dominant influence of Canaanite culture and Canaanite religion. And so if they were to stay in Canaan at that point in their history, they would have been absorbed by Canaanite religion and ethics, immorality, and there would not be an Israel. And if there wasn't an Israel, there would not be a Messiah. And if there was not a Messiah, we would be lost in our sin. So God sent them to Egypt as an incubator for a while, put them in the best land in Egypt, in the Goshen up near the Mediterranean Sea, made Joseph the number one, almost number one, the number two most powerful man in Egypt. Pharaoh was the most powerful man in the world. And Joseph moved into a place of power where he was able to protect the church, was able to protect the covenant people of God. And we all know that story. And so Genesis ends with a grave. And that is Joseph dying and Joseph telling them that you can bury me in Egypt, but I want you to take my bones back to Canaan when y'all get there. And in other words, he was filling the people of God with hope. When you get there, he was confident that they would return to Canaan and the promised land and build in that land a godly culture, and God's blessings would be poured out upon them. Interesting thing, by the way, in our archaeology. If you've never seen the documentary Patterns of Patterns of Evidence, it is magnificent. I've seen it two or three times. It documents everything from Joseph to the Exodus to Moses, everything in between, archaeologically. And the liberals like to disprove it, but it can't be disproven. There is a area where the Israelites lived in Egypt. Nobody, the liberals didn't believe they were ever there until they realized in this city there were all kinds of houses that that were not of Egyptian origin. They were ruins now, but they were houses built in the Canaanite style. And there was one particularly house that had 12 pillars in its yard, signifying something. The only thing I can think of is the 12 tribes of Israel. And in the backyard, they had a memorial place. It was a small, I've seen pictures of this, that it was a small pyramid, and just a very small one. And inside the pyramid was the statue of a man. Now, what's interesting about that man is he didn't have the same color skin as the Egyptian had. And he didn't have the same texture of hair as the Egyptians had. I'm not making this up, by the way. And there were still colors on his multicolored robe.
Wow.
Not far from there was a channel called the Channel of Joseph. So, and also you can go to Israel today, Palestine today, and see finally where they distributed his bones. So the children of Israel were saved from the corruption of the Canaanites in Egypt, but then Israel began to backslide. And Israel, after several years, begin to fail spiritually. And so there came another Pharaoh that didn't know Joseph, that was not friendly to the Hebrews, and so he enslaved them and treated them with great cruelty and brutality. Then, during that period, 400 or so years after Abraham, you know the story of Moses and Pharaoh telling all the Hebrew women to drown all the little Hebrew boys. But Moses' mother would not do it, so she put him in a basket. She put him in the Nile River, and he was rescued by Pharaoh's own daughter. And Moses' sister was in the bulrushes watching all this. So when Pharaoh's daughter found Moses, the little baby, the sister came out and said, "You'll need a nurse. Let me get a nurse for this little baby." And in God's providence, the nurse was Moses' mother. So she taught him the religion of the Bible. She taught him about the one true and living God. He received the best education available in arts, architecture, politics, sociology, things like that, in the courts of Pharaoh. And then he killed a policeman who was harming a Hebrew. A lot of people criticize for him for that, but the Bible does not criticize him for it. And he has to be exiled for another 40 years. He goes out in the wilderness of Midian. That's where all the descendants of Ishmael and the descendants of Abraham's wife, Keturah, lived in Saudi Arabia. And he lived with a man called Jethro. And Jethro taught him some of the most important lessons he's ever learned. And I like to say this has a little hyperbole with it, but not much. He taught Pharaoh, he taught Moses, so that if Moses had not have been taught by Jethro, there would not have been a United States of America. And there would have not have been a church governed by elders.
Wow.
Because Jethro taught him. And now we don't even know much about Jethro's background. He may have even been a descendant of Ishmael or a descendant of Keturah. But he taught Moses, who would lead the people of God, of which there was about now 3 million people. And he taught Moses that civil government has to be representative to be effective. It cannot be one man rule. It has to be governed by representatives of the people, or Moses, you'll just kill yourself in the process. And secondly, it has to be governed by a series of courts so that you have lower courts, higher courts, a system of courts that includes courts of appeal. So with those two major principles, which Moses learned from Jethro, you have the embryonic, the seeds of the formation of the Republic of the United States and of churches that are governed by elders.
Wow.
So that's one very important thing to bear in.
Why don't we pick up where you left off there when we return to the program after this first?
Sure. We're going to have to talk about this for several days.
Well, I want to have the first commercial break now so I don't have to interrupt you mid-sentence. And if anybody has a question for Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, submit it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. We're going to be right back.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko of The Haven, an Orthodox Presbyterian church in Commack, Long Island. I hold the Iron Sharpens Iron radio program hosted by my longtime friend and brother Chris Arnson in the highest esteem, and I'm thrilled that you're listening today. I'm also delighted that Iron Sharpens Iron is partnering with one of my favorite resources for Reformed Christian literature for decades now, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Well, with the economic nightmare that we're all currently enduring, CVBBS.com, I'm going to enable you to build a wonderful personal library of the best in literature that the Reformers, the Puritans, and the great Christian minds of today have to offer, and at affordable prices. Not only does CVBBS.com offer up to 50% off retail prices, but you'll get an added 5% off orders of $50 or more by using promo code IRON, I-R-O-N. An added 5% off all of your orders of $50 or more from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. That's CVBBS.com, making the joy of reading the finest in Christian literature more affordable. Oh, and make sure that you tell them that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Greetings. This is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMaster's here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
Armored Republic exists to equip free men with tools of liberty to defend God-given rights against the twin threats of tyranny and chaos. If you own a rifle to resist tyrants and criminals, then you should own body armor and a med kit for the same reasons. A rifle stops evil, body armor and a med kit keep you in the fight and preserve your life. Armored Republic is a body of free craftsmen united to create tools of liberty. We are honored to be your armorsmith of choice. Civilian ownership of body armor is about increasing decentralized power and, by comparison, reducing the advantages of centralized power. The danger of centralized power is often represented by the word king. As Americans, we hate the word king applied to any mere man. We are Armored Republic. And in a republic, there is no king but Christ. Arm yourself with tools of liberty at armoredrepublic.com.
Hello, I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
Here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, royaldiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio this amazing, mind-blowing opportunity. They are giving us 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener simply by that listener mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when they make their purchase. So if you have any intention to buy yourself or someone you love jewelry, and keep in mind, Mother's Day is just around the corner, and Father's Day not long after that. And I'm sure that many of you will be celebrating wedding anniversaries. Some of you men out there may be popping the question to the special woman in your life, and you'll need an engagement ring. Whatever the case may be, whether you're getting something custom designed or you're just buying a piece of jewelry they already have in stock at royaldiadem.com, I'm urging you to go to royaldiadem.com today to at least get the ball rolling on your purchase. The reason why there's urgency behind this is that I have no idea when royaldiadem.com is going to pull the plug on this offer where we get 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to one of our listeners. And keep in mind, this giving to us 100% of the profits from any sale is on top of the money, the financial support that they already automatically provide for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio every single month. So this is quite a generous sponsor of this program. Please go to royaldiadem.com today to get the ball rolling on your purchase of jewelry. And please mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're now back with Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III. I do have a question from a listener that I'd like to read before we continue with your train of thought. It's such an excellent question that I'd like to eventually conduct a whole interview on this subject, and perhaps you would be the candidate to do it, or someone else, Dr. Moorcraft. But the question is coming from Wyatt, and Wyatt lives in Sparrows Point, Maryland. And Wyatt says, during this time of year, there are several different television networks that air the very famous movie, The Ten Commandments, produced and released in the 1950s and narrated by Cecil B. DeMille, starring Charlton Heston. I was wondering, to your knowledge and to your memory, if there is anything in that movie that is not faithful to the biblical narrative of this historic event.
Yes, there are several things I can remember, but there are. But it's worth watching. I mean, to see the Red Sea parted, it's worth watching for that.
Yeah, in fact, that's an amazing scene for that day and age to be that realistic.
Yeah, to watch the plagues destroy Egypt, it's worth it. There was another thing on Moses movie that came out just a few years ago. It has flaws to it, too. But because of computers and like, it is even more realistic. And the drowning of Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea is worth whatever you have to pay for it. It's not reliable for teaching you what's going on. But you teach your children what it's all about, and then you can point out the errors when they watch the movie. By the way, Chris, I just found out that our audience today includes somebody in France.
Really?
Yeah, my granddaughter, Jessie Scarborough.
Oh, well, hello, Jessie. And I'm glad you're listening to the show. And I'd love it if you were to spread the word in France about this show. Now, in fact, I do know that we do have listeners in France and many other foreign countries. In fact, at least 28 that we know of, 28 foreign countries. But
is that right?
Yes. And so great to know that we have a listener now in France. One thing that
now,
I...
Let's,
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Excuse me. I was just going to say we'll go back to the Exodus if you want to now.
Yeah, I just wanted to say one thing about something that I knew was wrong in that wonderful movie, The Ten Commandments. According to the Bible, Aaron was supposed to be Moses' mouthpiece, if you will, because of his poor ability at speaking. And in the movie, Aaron hardly says anything, and it's Moses that does all the talking.
Well, Aaron wasn't as good looking as Chop.
He didn't have as good a voice either.
I know.
But anyway. But go ahead, if you could pick up where you left.
All right. So Moses was trained by Jethro for 40 years, and God called Moses in the burning bush to go back and to preach to Pharaoh and to call upon him to let the children of Israel free from slavery to sin and to Egypt and go out into the wilderness and worship God. So Pharaoh, as you just said, made a lot of excuses. But God gave him Aaron, and God said, Aaron's going to be your mouth, just like Moses, you're my mouth. I'll tell you what to say, and you tell Aaron what I told you. And go into the court of Pharaoh and preach to him and warn him about my judgment if he does not obey me. Now, you got to use your imagination, because there's another thing that's wrong in the movies. And that is this. Pharaoh, the mightiest tyrant in the world, with all of his pomp and circumstance and palaces and soldiers, and here Moses and Aaron go into his presence. Moses is 80 years old, and Aaron is 83. Two little old men representing the Almighty God before the mightiest tyrant of that day. So they go into Pharaoh, and they preach to him to let the people of God give the people freedom so that they can worship him in the wilderness or else. One thing I want to say, because the liberals love to quote about the Exodus. They love to talk about the Exodus. Particularly when they like to emphasize the systemic racism of the United States, which is a myth. But anyway, they'll say, here's how they use it. They'll say the story of the Exodus is a story of how the oppressed were liberated from the oppressors, and they make it purely a political thing. I want people to understand right off the bat, the Exodus was not for the purpose of political freedom. It was not the story of how the oppressed people got political freedom from their mean old Egyptian oppressors. This was a story of liberation from slavery to sin and death. Remember why they're there. They're there to deliver them from the immorality of the Canaanites. And now that they've fallen under the influence of the Egyptians, because they copied now some of the idolatrous practices of the Egyptians. The Jews copied some of the immoral practices of the Egyptians. So God now needed to set them free again from slavery to sin. And that's what the Exodus is all about, is how God liberated his people from slavery to sin and death. And so he sent Moses and Aaron into Pharaoh. Pharaoh was arrogant. He said, I'm not going to let your people go. Moses said, if you don't, then God's going to send a series of plagues that will devastate the whole nation of Egypt in all of its areas. It will destroy your agriculture. It will destroy your economy. it will destroy Egypt, will no longer be the powerful nation it was, and the last plague will destroy all the families. So I don't think we have time to go into all the plagues, but what's interesting is all of the various plagues that God sent, grasshoppers, frogs, darkness, turning the Nile River to blood, lice, animal diseases, all those things. All of the plagues were aimed, each of the plagues was aimed at one of the gods the Egyptian worshipped. So this was Jehovah's war against the gods of Egypt. And he was intending to discredit the gods of Egypt because the Egyptians all worshipped all these gods. Maybe you've heard of some of them like Ra or Osiris. God's intention was to discredit all of the gods of Egypt, to discredit all the priests of those gods, to discredit the claims of Pharaoh that he himself was God, and to punish the Egyptians for their idolatry and to liberate his people from the influences of immorality and idolatry. So the primary story of the Exodus is not about politics. It's about the salvation of God's people, the exertion of God's power, omnipotent power, delivering his people from the evil of Egypt. Now, what did God have in mind? What was his goal in all this? His goal was, there were several goals. His goal was to set his people free so that they could go out into the wilderness and worship him. And not simply worship him, but worship him by atonement, by sacrifice. God loves to be worshiped by his people. And he destroyed an entire nation of Egypt just so his people be free to go out into the wilderness to worship him in spirit and in truth. Secondly, God could have destroyed Egypt in one day. I mean, it would have been no hardship whatever for God just to snap his fingers and all of Egypt would be destroyed. Why did God take so long? God went through a series of plagues of increasing severity, and he took several days in doing something that he could do it just by snapping his fingers. Why did he take so much time? And the Bible gives us the answer: to make room for him to display more of his glory and his magnificence in the display of his justice on the Egyptians and his mercy on the Hebrews. That's what it was all about. That's why he had so many plagues, took so long. Romans 9 says that. Go to Romans 9 and you'll see it. And when you read Exodus 11, 12, 13, over and over, it says that God did all these things in such a long time to give him more room to perform more miracles and to extend that time. Over and over, God said that he would harden Pharaoh's heart. So this was a war between the sovereign God, our God, Jehovah, a war between God and the God of Egypt and all those that worship those gods, so that his people would be free to worship him. Gary North wrote a great commentary called something like Jehovah versus the gods of Egypt. But we must understand exactly the nature of this thing, so we know that it's bigger than just a political war. So, God told the last plague. Pharaoh said, I'm not going to let you go. Moses and Aaron preached to him and said, if you don't let my people go, God's going to come to Egypt and he's going to kill all the firstborn children in the whole nation. Now imagine, kill all the firstborn children of the whole nation. That's tens of thousands of people. And so the Pharaoh was arrogant. He had a firstborn son. And God said the Hebrews will not be killed if they shed the blood of a lamb and sprinkle its blood upon the doorpost of the house. And God says, everywhere I see the blood sprinkled on the doorpost of the house, I will pass over you. Or in Hebrew it says, I'll jump over your house and nobody in your house will be killed. So finally, God did it. At midnight, God killed every firstborn child, including the Pharaohs, in the whole nation of Egypt. And it says that there was such a cry that had gone up from the Egyptians that night that has never been heard like that before. Parents crying for their children's dead because they were dead. Babies crying in pain. It wasn't easy death. So the whole nation was in mourning. And the only place where the plagues did not hit, and the only place where there was no death, was in the land of Goshen, the land where the covenant people of God lived, who'd put the sprinkled blood on the doorposts. So we normally, when we think about the Passover, we normally think about the lamb, which we should. I mean, the lamb was central. The death of the lamb, the shedding of the blood of the lamb, both the shedding of the blood and the sprinkling of the blood, both had significance. The shedding of the blood of the lamb symbolized the slaughtering of the sacrifice, the killing of the sacrifice that symbolized Jesus, the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. And the sprinkling of the blood on the doorpost symbolized the application of the blessings and the effect of that blood upon those who believe in it within each of these houses. I mean, there's a lot of theology here. And so the lamb and its blood, central, of course, to the whole thing. God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And then in 1 Corinthians 5, it says that Jesus is our Passover. And that what that blood represented was the propitiatory, substitutionary death, sacrifice of the Son of God incarnate in the place of his people.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. Amen. Now, there's another phrase that's spoken of over and over again in chapters 10, 11, and 12. And that is the phrase, when God says he sent a plague to the Egyptians and killed all the Egyptians or destroyed their agriculture or destroyed their economy, but did not destroy the Israelites. Then God says every time, because God put a difference between Israel and Egypt. Now, the interesting thing is, by this time, Israel was almost as sinful as Egypt. They had copied some of their idolatrous practices. They had adopted some of their immoral practices. They were backslidden. So God did not spare Israel because they were so sweet and kind and wonderful. they were guilty of many of the same sins that Egypt was. So what is this difference? God put a difference between Israel and Egypt, and he spared Israel and destroyed Egypt. And what is that difference? Sovereign grace.
Amen.
Because he destroyed the Egyptians because of their sins and saved Israel in spite of hers.
Yes. Just like Jacob and Esau.
He is a sovereign God who has compassion upon whom he will have compassion, and who will harden whom he will. And as Paul says, behold the severity and the kindness of God.
Amen.
Now, somebody might say, well, my God's not like that. He doesn't kill people. He doesn't treat people like this. Well, that person's God may not. He may be worshiping an idol. But there is only one God. There is no other God behind Jehovah, besides Jehovah. And he never did anything unjust to the Egyptians. Not one thing unjust. Everything he did was in perfect justice and in sovereign mercy. And so you see this as a display of the salvation brought to us in Christ.
Amen.
Why did Christ save some and not everybody? Because God wanted us to see the glory of his justice in the condemnation of sinners and the glory of his grace in the salvation of sinners.
Amen.
So there's some other details of the during the Passover.
By the way, could you pick up on the details when we return from our midway break?
Sure.
And folks, just please be patient with us, because the midway break is always a little longer than the other breaks, because Grace Life Radio 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida requires of us a longer break, because they are required by the FCC to localize Iron Trip and Zion Radio geographically to the city where they are located, which is Lake City, Florida. They do so with their own public service announcements and other local things that they announce in the middle of our show, while we, on the other hand, simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. Please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the contact information for as many of our advertisers as you possibly can, so that you can more frequently respond to our advertisers and at least let them know that you are grateful to them for keeping Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air through their financial support. Of course, we hope that you, on occasion at least, buy their products, use their services, and visit their churches. But at the very least, thank them for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And of course, send in your questions to Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III on the Exodus. And the email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to the Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from a tie in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reform Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Chris Aronson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBVS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBVS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. And now, they're also shipping worldwide. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online worldwide at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 717-249-0231. That's 717-249-0231. For orders of $50 or more, use promo code IRON for an extra 5% off their already discounted prices. And please, let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Chris Aronson here, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I strongly recommend a church I've been recommending as far back as the 1980s, Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn.
Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. They endeavor to maintain a God-centered focus and to protect worship from the intrusion of carnal entertainments and distractions. Reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbc-nj.org. That's gcbc-nj.org. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And I've got a recommendation to all you parents and grandparents out there, especially since we're talking about Exodus today. Solid-ground-books.com has the classic children's stories trilogy, including chapters by Charles Haddon Spurgeon, J.C. Ryle, and D.L. Moody. And they have many more books that are about what we are discussing today and other subjects, all related to the scripture and the gospel of Jesus Christ, and all coming from a theologically reformed perspective. I'm urging you to go to solid-ground-books.com today. If you've never purchased from them before, I know you'll be thrilled with the outcome if you make your very first purchase today at solid-ground-books.com, and I'm urging you, please, to do so. And also, even if you're a regular customer of solid-ground-books.com, maybe you even purchase books from them every month or even more frequently. Well, I'm urging you today to make your largest purchase than ever before from solid-ground-books.com as your way of saying thanks to solid-ground-books.com for being such a valuable advertiser and financial supporter of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And always remember, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by buying books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping one of our most important advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they bring back into print lost treasures of Christian literature, sometimes dating back centuries, that have not seen the light of day and have not been read by Christians for centuries on occasion, until solid-ground-books.com rediscovered these works and brought them back into print. And they also have books traveling through the ages all the way up to our modern day, including brand new books that they brought into print for the first time by such current authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So please go to solid-ground-books.com frequently and purchase generously. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my discussion with Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III on Exodus, We have some very important announcements to make. If you really love this show, folks, you don't want it to go off the air, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, sending a physical check to a physical address from your post office the old-fashioned way, there will be a physical address that appears on your screen as well when you click ironsharpensironradio.com and you click support. And you can mail your checks to that address, made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, folks, if you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private practice, like a law firm, a medical firm, or maybe it's just a special event you want to promote, whatever it is, if it's compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign, because we are just as much an eagerly urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Also, folks, please remember, I never want anybody in my audience giving less money to your own church where you're a member on the Lord's Day in order to bless us with a financial gift. Never cut into the finances that you have set aside for your Lord's Day giving to your own church to bless us financially. Never do that. And if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you send us a gift. The Bible is very clear that we are primarily to use the money with which he has blessed us, which is still God's money. We're primarily to use that to support our church and our family, and providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is not a command, obviously. But if you do love the show, you don't want it to disappear, and you have been blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, please share some of that money with us. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you're not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, doctrinally sound, theologically solid church like Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, please let me know. No matter where in the world you live, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put, "I need a church," in the subject line. I may be able to help you find a church, as I have done with many listeners all over the world in our audience, sometimes with even just in a few minutes from where they live. So if you are in that position where you do not have a biblically sound church home, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put, "I need a church," in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III on the Exodus. And before you continue on your train of thought there, I just wanted to read a question that is definitely a matter of great controversy amongst Christians, and it does relate to what you were talking about. We have Colt, just like Colt 45, both the handgun and the malt liquor, and just like the Indianapolis NFL team, Colt in Mule Shoe, Texas, says, "I know that there is a division even amongst Calvinists as to whether babies who die while in infancy go to hell. And I know that God, as you stated, had killed all those Egyptian babies during that period of history when you were discussing the Exodus. I know that Charles Spurgeon believed that God would not kill or allow to die any babies that were not of the elect, but I was wondering what your position was on this."
That is a very serious question, and I think the Bible is clear, and that is nobody deserves to go to heaven.
Right.
Not even little babies. All little babies are sinners. We were born sinners. We came out of our mother's womb sinners. And all of us deserve God's condemnation. So that's the first thing to bear in mind, that we are all sinners. We all deserve God's condemnation from the moment we're conceived in our mother's womb. The second thing is this is not the first time in the Bible that we read about the death of little babies. There's two previous occasions. The first occasion, of course, is Noah's flood. That it was not just adults that died in Noah's flood. It was the entire human race, including babies except for Noah's family. And then there was another time in which people, including babies, died. And that's in the, when God sent the fire from heaven to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. God is never unjust to anybody. God is a God of mercy, and he is a God of justice. And we must praise him for his justice and praise him for his mercy. I'll never forget what R.C. Sproul said one time. Some young people in college asked him. They said, Dr. Sproul, why didn't God save everybody? And Sproul said, why did God save anybody?
Right.
That we are all deserving of God's displeasure and without hope except for his sovereign mercy. So we may not question the severity or the mercy of Almighty God, that everybody on earth deserves the full force of God's fury. And the only way we can be saved from that fury is through faith in Christ. In the book of Isaiah, there is this statement. It says, can anybody stand before a consuming fire? And people expect the answer to be no. But the answer is yes. Those who trust in Christ alone for salvation, those whose hearts have been changed by the sovereign regenerative work of God, can stand before a consuming fire. So these babies in Egypt, along with everybody else in Egypt, deserve God's judgment. And we must never forget that. Nobody deserves to go to heaven.
Amen. And obviously... Go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Charles Spurgeon, who believed all infants who died while in infancy must have been of the elect because of the accounts in Scripture where people are being described as being in hell, they are always conscious of their rebellion. Charles Spurgeon deduced that the babies going there were of the elect, the babies who died in their infancy were of the elect because they couldn't consciously recognize rebellion. But at the same time, what I have told people is even if there are reprobate babies who die while in infancy, I don't believe that anybody in the afterlife remains a baby in heaven or hell, just like people who are 99 years old don't remain 99 years old in heaven. I don't think that there are any babies in hell, certainly, because if there are reprobate infants who die, they will not remain in that state in punishment.
That is right. They're not babies. They're fully mature human beings because God is just.
Amen.
So that is a good question. It is a hard question, but we must go as far as the Bible goes.
Yes.
And stop where the Bible stops.
Right.
And we must not be afraid to say we believe everything the Bible teaches and not try to read into it things that we would like for it to say, which it does not say.
And the Arminians always bring this up in debate with Calvinists to deflect from the actual subject they're debating, to evoke an anger from the listener or even a horror of the concept that an infant dying in infancy could possibly go to hell. And they seem to neglect all of those accounts where babies were killed by God himself while they were living on this earth. So they really can't consistently use that playing on the heartstrings, if you will.
And they, as a result, they cannot behold with awe and reverence the severity and the mercy of Almighty God.
Right.
People like to talk about God's mercy, but they don't like to talk about God's wrath. God's wrath is a terrible thing. And the way you escape it, and the only way you escape it, is through faith in Christ alone.
Amen. Willie, would you like to pick up where you left off before the break?
Yes, sir. There are a lot of other little details pertaining to that night before God killed all the Egyptian babies. God told the Israelites, at midnight, I'm coming to Egypt, and I'm going to kill the firstborn. So before midnight, several things I want you to do to his people. He says to them, I want you to have a Passover feast, and I want you to get your shoes on and your robe and put your staff in your hand and get out of town as quick as you can. Now, why is God telling them that last thing? The Passover feast was to be eaten the night before the death of the firstborn. The Hebrews had the blood on the doorposts. And God said, now, when you eat this meal, I don't want any leaven in your bread. You're not going to have time for the leaven. I don't want you to take anything from Egypt with you anyway. I want you to be fully dressed, prepared to march, and do it in haste. Now, what is the principle? I want your people to hear this because I emphasized it so much in my sermon last Sunday to my people. And that is this, that when God tells his people to get out of town as quickly as they can, he's telling them and impressing them with the reality of rapid fire change in a culture under the judgment of God. Now, let me say that again. He's telling his people, impressing them with the reality of rapid fire change in a culture under the judgment of God. At 1 minute after midnight that night, nothing would be the same. They would be eating dinner, the Passover, and at 1 minute after midnight, nothing would ever be the same for the Egyptians or for the Hebrews. The Egyptians would all be in anguish and agony, and the Hebrews, God's chosen people, would be on their way to freedom in the promised land to build a culture to the glory of Almighty God. Nothing would ever be the same for them. And so when God goes to judge a culture, you better be ready. There are people that say, Joe, today it's taken us a couple hundred years to get to the bad place we are in the United States, so it'll take a couple hundred years for us to get out of it. Anybody that says that hadn't read Exodus or know history, because when God goes to judge a culture, that judgment is redemptive for the people of God. That judgment ends the threat of their enemies. And for instance, the Reformation. The Reformation, Europe had been slipping into darkness through the Roman Catholic Church for almost 1,000 years. And so people would say, well, if it took about 1,000 years for Europe to get in such a bad state because of Roman Catholicism. It'll take 1,000 years for them to get out. They don't know history. It took one generation. That for 1,000 years, the Roman Catholic Church was failing European Christians. And in one generation, the entirety of Northern Europe was changed. The darkness was expelled. The light had come. And the Reformation had won the victory over darkness that had been in place for 1,000 years. And they scattered the darkness in less than one generation. And so we can see that time and again. For instance, in Judah, when some of the kings were godly kings, Judah would be in a backslidden condition for generations. And then God would send a revival, and Judah would be reformed in 1 month. So understand that when God, when a coach is in rebellion against God, and God brings his judgment upon that culture in order to purge out of it the evil in it for the protection of the church, things move rapidly. And so we don't have to sit around and think, well, nothing's going to happen for generations. Understand, God says, at 1 minute after midnight, nothing is going to be the same for Egyptians or for Hebrews. So get your sandals on, get your robe on, put your staff in hand, and leave in haste so that you can get about what I'm fixing to do. So understand. And there is a prayer in the Bible. Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. I love that prayer. But most people don't know what it means. In context, revive your work in the midst of the years, and in your wrath, remember mercy. In context, that prayer is saying, revive your work of judgment in the midst of the years. Purify the nation and the church, and in your wrath, remember mercy. And the second thing we learn from what God told them there in their Passover meal is, be ready to get on the march. Be ready to march the moment God gives the order. In other words, don't sit around. Because you got more fighting to do. God's liberating you from slavery to sin in Egypt so that you can worship him. But in order to worship him in this land of freedom and milk and honey, you're going to have to fight a lot of tribes in the wilderness. You're going to have to carry on a lot of wars with Canaanites in the promised land. So you don't get to rest till you die. Be ready to march. Be ready to fight. Understand you don't get to rest until you die. And that's what we got to teach our children.
Amen.
And Israel, the first generation of people that entered the promised land under Joshua, were godly people. Second generation, they were less godly. Third generation, they were marrying Canaanites and worship Canaanite gods. Why? One main reason. The godly Israelites forgot to teach their children about the war.
Wow.
And we are at war. We cannot peacefully coexist in this culture. We must seek to convert it, but we must also understand that this culture is not our friends, and they seek to destroy us. And so we must constantly be at war in an attempt to conquer the culture and to change the lives, convert the people. that are in our land. We must, and that marching order means make a clean, immediate break with everything you were.
Amen.
Now, clean break with sin, clean break with the seductions of the culture, no more compromise, no more mediocre living, no more misbehavior, no more unbelief. Things are immediate, and you cannot wait for the sake of your children.
Amen. And you really just answered a question I was going to ask you. I was going to say, can we make, without being guilty of eisegesis, a clear application of this being allegorical to repentance? And immediately I began thinking of a young man, and I hope he's providentially listening, a young man that I introduced to a biblically sound, sovereign grace-believing church that he began attending faithfully, showing much promise and hopeful evidence of his true conversion. But after a while, he was going to church less and less, stopped going completely, and he gave as his flimsy excuse, I've got to take care of a few things in my life before I move forward again with Christianity. And I reminded him he has no promise that he is going to live through the night, that he has no idea when God is going to take him off this earth. As we were just reminded about the horrific collapse of that bridge in Maryland, Baltimore, Maryland, just a few days ago, how tragic it was that there were people who were driving across that bridge. Some of them, you could see from the video, made it a second to the other side, a second before the bridge collapsed, and others did not. And they had no idea, obviously, when they got in their cars that morning, early in the morning, to go off to work or wherever they were going, they had no idea that that was going to be the last time they would ever breathe the air of the earth. And so would you say that this is a very good allegory?
I think it's a great comparison, yes, sir. And I saw a bumper sticker not long ago that said, don't get God started. That God's wrath is the most destructive thing in the universe. Sin is not the most destructive thing in the universe. God's wrath is. And so I wouldn't play around with it. I wouldn't think that I would not try to convince myself that I can control when God shows his wrath and when he doesn't. That God is the sovereign God, and you're the creature. And you must not presume upon him. Now is accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. You don't know about tomorrow.
Amen. Let's see. We have Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, who has a question. He says, I know this is somewhat off topic, but I was having a conversation over the internet with somebody who could truly be described as a bigot, and he was opposed to interracial marriage. I brought up the fact that Moses' sister was turned leprous because she was criticizing his marriage to an Ethiopian, and he said that that was ridiculous because the Bible does not clearly state that her skin color nor the texture of her hair was different than Moses. How do you reply to such a person?
Well, first of all, the Bible nowhere ever distinguishes a person by the color of his skin.
Amen.
Nowhere. Secondly, the Bible nowhere condemns interracial marriages, but it does in fact condemn interreligious marriages.
Right.
So that you cannot marry a person from another religion, and you cannot be unequally bound together with unbelievers. Zipporah, the daughter of Jethro, lived in Midian, and more specifically, it says that she was a Cushite woman, and the people of Cush were Ethiopians.
Right.
So there's absolutely no reason to believe that she was not very dark-skinned. And so the Bible does not forbid it. It's interreligious marriage,
right,
that God forbids.
Yeah, it's actually moronic to be opposed to people marrying each other who have different skin color. It's absolutely, it would be laughable if it wasn't so tragic that people still believe this, that it's wrong. And it would be like saying that a Scandinavian shouldn't marry a swarthy Sicilian. You know, you could go on and on with the differences of the way people look. It's absolutely moronic. And it's even more than moronic, it's evil.
The thing that the person should realize, nowhere in the Bible does God ever distinguish anybody on the basis of race.
Right.
It's always on the basis of family. That settles it for me.
And there is only one race. It's the human race.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
And in fact, it was the bigots who began using the term race to distinguish humans of different skin colors and hair textures. And
yeah, the Darwinians.
Yes.
The pro-evolutionists.
Yes.
Well, there's one more big thing that the Exodus, I mean, there's not just one more, but there's one great big thing that the Exodus taught the people of God.
Now, can you pick up on that when we return from our last break?
Sure can.
Okay, we're going to be right back. Don't go away, folks.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania,
and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
Chris Arnzen here. I am forever grateful to Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service for their generous financial support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. But that's not the only reason I love them. CVBBS.com carries the finest in theologically reformed literature from 16th century classics like Calvin's Institutes, 17th and 18th century Puritan treasures like the works of Jonathan Edwards, 19th century volumes by the Prince of Preachers Charles Spurgeon, all the way up to the 21st century with the best of R.C. Sproul, Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, and more. On top of their stellar book selection, CVBBS.com offers up to 50% off retail prices with an added 5% off for orders of $50 or more when using the promo code IRON. Visit CVBBS.com today and use promo code IRON. That's CVBBS.com. Enriching minds and maintaining the theologically reformed influence of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio through their financial support. Now shipping worldwide.
Welcome back. I want to remind everybody listening that this program is also paid for in part by my very dear friend dating back to the early 1990s, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, of the law firm of Buttafuoco and Associates. If you are the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice, please call Dan Buttafuoco at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Please mention that you heard about Buttafuoco and Associates from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, I want to remind our men in ministry leadership in our audience that the next free biannual Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon, featuring for the very first time as keynote speaker, Dr. Joel Beakey, founder and president of Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary in Grand Rapids, Michigan, will take place on Thursday, June the 6th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. Everything is free of charge, including the heavy sack of brand new books that you will receive by virtue of being in attendance that have been donated by generous Christian publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom and personally selected by me. If you'd like to register for this free event, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. Last but not least, please mark your calendars for tomorrow's interview. I have joining me for the very first time, Sean Mathis, who is an Orthodox Presbyterian pastor. He is going to be discussing his new book, Is the Church Pro-Gay? How to Respond to a Moral Crisis with God's Love. And this book has received raving reviews from such folks as Dr. Rosaria Butterfield, who says this book is a must-read. So make sure that you tune in tomorrow to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio for that interview. Well, we're now back with Dr. Moorcraft, and we have been discussing Exodus. And if you could, you said that there was a final thing that you want to highlight about the Exodus during our discussion today.
Yes, sir. Before I do that, let me remind everybody that we take the Lord's Supper today instead of having Passover, because in the Christian church, there are no sacraments that require the shedding of blood. And the Lord's Supper is a celebration of the fact that Christ is our Passover.
Amen.
It is a meal. It is a meal that signifies judgment, that it celebrates God's judgment on his enemies. In fact, it's also a judgment on those in his church. God says that God will bring his judgment upon those through the Lord's Supper that are unfaithful to him or that take the Lord's Supper without faith and without heart. So it celebrates the God's judgment. It's a celebration of deliverance and redemption through the shed blood of Christ, and it is a pre-victory celebration. It's a celebration of the fact that we win, we've already won, we're to do it faithfully until Christ returns in all of his glory. And then the one last thing that I want to emphasize, to this audience they know, but there's a big dispute now among conservative Republicans and evangelicals that's gone viral over the internet, as it is so discouraging. And that is that Candace Owens, who is the black Christian conservative woman, worked with Ben Shapiro and his Daily Wire, was fired the other day for saying that Christ is king. So I want to emphasize finally that the whole Exodus teaches the Christian church, teaches Christians everywhere. We only have one Savior. You can't look to the state to save you. You can't look to education to save you. You can't look to science to save you. There's only one Savior, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he also is our King. Christ is King over every aspect of life.
Hallelujah.
All authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. And we are to obey him no matter who else we are to disobey. There is a short paragraph that I want to read from a book that Archibald Alexander Hodge wrote in the middle 19th century. And he said this: in the name of your own soul and its salvation, in the name of the adorable victim of that bloody and agonizing sacrifice, whence you draw all your hopes of salvation, by Gethsemane and Calvary, I charge you, citizens of the United States, afloat on your wild sea of politics, there is another king, one Jesus. The safety of the state can be secured only in the way of humble and whole-souled loyalty to his person and obedience to his law.
Amen. And by the way, I don't know if you responded the same way I did on a number of occasions when there was a similar outcry of anti-Semitism. Now, please don't get me wrong, folks. I'm not saying that I approve of Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ. I'm not saying that I am wholeheartedly supportive of that, et cetera, et cetera. But there were many people from the Jewish community who were outraged, saying that this was anti-Semitic because it had the Jews as being responsible for the death of Christ. And I have said to people who shared that view, I have said to them, it is the worst thing that a Christian could ever tell anybody, that they had nothing to do with the death of Christ, because that means you will never receive the benefit from the death of Christ.
That's good. That's well said.
And Ben Shapiro should know better because of the fact that his very network that he's a part of was supposed to be based on its opposition to cancel culture and whiny, mamby-pamby liberals. And Ben Shapiro is famous for saying facts don't have feelings, or facts don't care about your feelings. And so it's an outrage that he would be a part of the termination.
Now he's practicing cancel culture.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's why it's so outrageous and hypocritical.
Yeah, it is.
But before we run out of time, I would like you to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today before we go off the air.
If you're not familiarizing yourselves with Genesis and Exodus particularly, you're not going to understand any of the rest of the Bible. The Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy are the foundation of the rest of Scripture and the foundation of Christians, with Christ being the chief cornerstone. And the thing to bear in mind is when they talk about the promises of God to the children of Israel or to the children of Abraham, don't define those terms in any racist sense. The third chapter of Genesis says that we, if we belong to, this is Genesis 3:29, if we belong to Christ by faith, we are the children of Abraham and heirs of promise without regard to ethnic origin.
Amen. Circumcised of the heart. And we are out of time, and I want to make sure that all of our listeners have the essential websites to get a hold of Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia. First of all, the website for the church is heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. If you want to find out more information on Dr. Moorcraft's 8-volume commentary on the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. And I really want to remind our listeners of our urgent need for your financial help. I know that some of you perhaps have been listening for years and have never helped us financially. Maybe there is a reason for that. But I'm asking you, if you know that the Lord has enabled you to bless us and you do love this show and you don't want it to disappear, I'm asking you to please go to ironsharpensironradio.com today, click support, then click to donate now. And please remember that we would love to hear from you if you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, business, private practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or a special event. Please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line. Well, Dr. Moorcraft, once again, you have even exceeded my extremely high expectations of our interview, of what it would be like, and I eagerly and excitedly look forward to your frequent returns to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
My pleasure and privilege.
And I want everybody to remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.